First John, as we see, John really has a heart for people to enjoy fellowship, koinonia. I really, really love First John. I love all of John's recorded writings. I love everything. He just has got such a wonderful heart in the Lord. And he's not ashamed of his affections for the Lord. He's open about them. And he's open about his affections for the body of Christ. And he really clearly states several of his intents as we go through this letter. But the first intent that really he's writing, why is he writing, and the Holy Spirit's intent in writing this letter. The first reason you really find here is in verse 3 of chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Man, that we might experience the fullness, the best of what God has for us in fellowship, koinonia, something that Christians experience. There's a lot of different types, I understand, of fellowship. You go to a ball game, go to the racetrack, car races, and you enjoy watching the cars go round and round and round the track. I know the gals really enjoy that. And there's a sense of fellowship amongst the gearheads as they kind of just celebrate a vehicle that is able to go at a high rate of speed and the driver that's able to negotiate his way around the track without wrecking his car. And there's just some kind of an enjoyment of a gathering of like-minded people. We take it serious around here, the Chiefs games. People take it serious. You know, they go to a Chiefs game, they just kind of celebrate their Chiefsness, you know? And they enjoy all of that, right? You know? Now, you can gather with people and enjoy. There's people that go to the bars and they celebrate their loneliness together and their emptiness. And they think they're having a good time. Now, that is a sense of bonding or fellowship, but it's not the sense that is described here in the Word. This transcends all of that and goes way beyond all of that, and it takes it out into another level. I mean, we had guys that I used to spend time with during high school that we backpacked all over the place together, you know, and we just had a real bond. Now, with a lot of us, we were believers as young guys together, and we had this bond that transcended just the backpacking. And then I had another group of buddies that when time went by, we got caught up into partying and just surfing and hanging out at the beach and all this stuff. And that was kind of our bond. What is it that bonds us together? And that's really what's important that John is saying here. What is it that bonds us together? Jesus Christ in our lives. There's a lot of things out there that bond people together, but we are to have one thing that bonds us together. The other stuff is just stuff. The other things out there aren't what bond us together. You see, we don't all like the same clothing. We don't all even like some of the clothing that other people wear. We don't all have the same haircuts. Some of us have less hair. Some of us have more hair. You know, it just goes on and on and on. We're at all various ages and stages in the life's journey. But what is it that bonds us or keeps us glued together? And it's that fellowship that we share. We are sinners, every one of us. We're sinners, but we aren't celebrating that, and that's not what we're sharing in common. We're sharing in common that we've been forgiven of our sins, that we've been washed and cleansed, and we just enjoy the bond we have in a mutual Savior who died on the cross for our sins. And we are followers of that Savior. We will go anywhere and do anything for our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what bonds us together. That transcends all the other bonds that might be out there. It extends past all of that and goes out into all eternity. That's what we celebrate. That's what we share together. That's what John is writing about here. That's what we enjoy. That basis of our fellowship being forgiven in Jesus Christ. That's the basis of this gathering. Be not mistaken. That is the basis of this gathering. There are thousands of other gatherings going on all over the United States. And a lot of those gatherings are more of a country club atmosphere, where everybody's a lot more concerned with what everybody's wearing. They're a lot more concerned with who's giving what and who's doing what. They're a lot more concerned about a lot of things that I'm not concerned about, and that we shouldn't be concerned about as Christians, really. Our concern is to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, to walk in Him and enjoy that fellowship that we have in Him. You see, John found something that was more powerful than anything on the face of this earth, and that was a love relationship with Jesus Christ. God made Himself known to him, and he found that, and that was the most powerful thing in his life. And that's what he's saying. Hey, that's what it's all about. All the other stuff is just pales by comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. Let's go on a little bit. In order for us to experience this fellowship to the fullest, John tells us in verse 7 that we need to walk in the light. In order for us to really enjoy this fellowship that we have, this, we know what the basis now of the fellowship is. The basis is the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the basis of it. And if we know Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, that's what we all share in common. That's what we enjoy with one another, is that basis of fellowship in Jesus Christ. But to have it really be at its peak or its fullest, we need to walk in the light. He says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He, speaking of Jesus Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So, if we're to enjoy this fellowship to the furthest that we can, and that we share it with one another, because you know what? There are a lot of grievances that happen inside the body of Christ. In Christianity, there's a lot of grievances that go on, a lot of disagreements, a lot of things that happen. There just simply are. But one of the most important things is that we walk in the light. Because he just clearly said to us, if we walk in the light, we are going to have koinonia. So we want to look at this from a biblical perspective and say, well, what does this really mean to walk in the light? What does that really mean to you and to me? What does that mean? Because there's going to be grievances. It's going to happen. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be different things. But what does it mean for you and I to walk in the light? Now, I have to say something that's very important. You can have disagreements and issues and things that can happen. And it is important for us to come as brothers and sisters to the foot of the cross. And it's very important for us to see situations in the light of God's love and in the light of His Word, in the light of who He is. And therefore, we need to see ourselves in that same light. We are imperfect people about, in the midst of, a divine task. We are imperfect people in the midst of pursuing a divine task. God's moving through us. But we still live in these tents. We have misgiven thoughts about situations. We have things that happen. Our minds go places. We think things that we ought not, and so on and so forth. We want to drop that stuff off at the cross. It's so important for us to meet at the cross. The thing that I've found to be true is that you can show up, or I could show up, to the cross. And others should be showing up at the cross with us, so we can be in the light. But that's not always going to happen. But you and I have a personal responsibility. We're to show up at the cross. See, I can't be responsible for anybody else meeting me at the cross. But I need to be there. If something goes down, I need to be at the cross. That's where we meet. We meet at the cross. That's where the light's going to shine. That's where it's going to become evident and be manifest. But the thing that's so important is that you need to know in your heart that you showed up at the cross. Not verbally, but that you really showed up at the cross in your heart. That you were there, that you showed up, and that your heart's intent was to find resolve and do things and get things right. Because that's where koinonia takes place. See, for us on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday evening, anytime we get together, for us to really experience koinonia, we need to show up at the cross. We need to show up there in our hearts. When we come to worship, that's where I go. I don't know what anybody else is doing around me. That's why I sit up front. I sit up front because it's closer to the pulpit, and because that's the truth. We're walking in the light here. But because I don't want to be distracted by anything else. I close my eyes and I'm at the foot of the cross. I just want to see Jesus. I'm glad you're all here, but I want to see Jesus. I came to hook up with the Lord. And so that's what it's all about. That's where we really start to experience koinonia and enjoy the blessings of what God has for us, is when we come to the cross. So that being said, let's go on and say, what does this mean to walk in the light? And let's go through some biblical principles here and some scripture to kind of back this so we can see. Well, one, we know that God is light. That's just important for us to note. We find this in verse 5. Of 1 John. John states it. He says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That'd make a good song, wouldn't it? That is a worship song. But good thought for us, you know. He is light. God is light, simply stated. He illuminates. He makes manifest. He brings things into truth, you know. The light shines in the darkness, you know, and it lights up everything, and it's seen really, what is it, for what it is. That's kind of powerful when you think about it. Let the light of God shine in your heart and your mind. It illuminates. In other words, there's no dark corners. There's no closets with doors. You see, the light shines. And it exposes who we really are, what we're really about. That's what part of walking in the light, because God is light. He is light. James, and there is no darkness in him at all. James also says in chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." He's consistent. He's the Father of lights. There's no shifting or changing, no variation. He sees things. When the light shines, he sees it for what it is, and he sees us for who we are. And isn't that great? You know, when you think about it, you think, yeah, man, that's kind of overwhelming. But yet, there's the grace, and God's grace is there, that covers all the darkness that was ever in our lives. It's washed and cleansed because of his grace. But God is light, so we've got that clearly established. Psalm 104, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light, as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain." The vastness of who God is. God's word also is light. And there's a lot we could go through on this, but I the standard but awesome verse, 119th Psalm 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is light. It illuminates. God's word illuminates who we are and what we're all about. It's a light to our path. You know, it shines out in front of us, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, the path, it shines out far enough, you know, so I can see a little bit. And this is what we talk about the walk of faith. I can see far enough ahead, you know, to see a little bit of what's going on. We were talking even earlier about just that step it takes sometimes in faith. But God brings us to this brink of taking one step, right? We take that one step, and then he reveals the next step, because he lights the path. It didn't say that you've got this area vast that's lit up. It says he lights the path. So we have guidance, we have direction. He lights the path for us, and then there's that lamp to our feet. We used to go night hiking sometimes. You ever done night hiking? Some of you guys gone raccoon hunting, maybe. It's similar. Except without guns. And you're not looking to kill some small little innocent critter. But that's for the animal lovers. But the idea here is that you get out there and you've got this lamp or this flashlight so you can see down. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that you could step on, trip over, get caught up in. And so you want to have your feet lit up well so you can see. Not just the path so you can see some kind of direction of where you're going, but your immediate steps you want to illuminate. The God's Word does that for us. He shows us what direction we're to take. He gives us each step. And I think it's so important that it is that one step at a time that he gives us the light for, one step at a time. So God's Word is light. We know God's light. We know his Word is light. Jesus being that living Word, Jesus being the living Word of God, he is also light. John 8, verse 11 and 12. Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Isn't that awesome? He's the light of life, that he lights up, you know, inside and that light. You know, the thing is as Christians, as we open our hearts to Jesus Christ, we become illuminated then. Life is illuminated. We see things for what it is. It's really fascinating to me. You know, when you first give your life over to the Lord, and even as you journey a while, as you've read through things in the Bible, as you've read through over and over again these different things, then you find, man, the Lord just shed some new light on it. That's awesome. That's part of the journey, walking in the light and enjoying it, that God sheds light on it. But he is the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. I think that's important for us to know that if we're walking with Jesus Christ, we're not walking in darkness. These things are mutually exclusive, aren't they? Unless the light bulb's busted, which God's light bulbs are never broken, but unless the light bulb is busted and you walk into a room and it's pitch black in a room and you hit the switch, light comes on, it dispels the darkness, doesn't it? It eliminates it. Well, this is what happens in our lives. When we are followers of Jesus Christ, the darkness is now eliminated. Now, what happens when we trip up? We get tripped up in a situation. There's a strong possibility that we haven't been in the Word. A strong possibility that we haven't been in the Word. Because the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's a strong possibility that we're just not walking close, following the Lord closely, as we find here, because he is the light of the world, and there's no darkness with him. And so we want him, we want to maintain, as John is mentioning, that intimacy of fellowship with the Lord so that we can see what's going on. I readily assure you that there are times where all I could see was just barely each step that I was going to take in front of me. But I could still see the Lord there. I could see the Lord out in front. Did I know exactly where we were going? No. Is he obligated to tell me that? Not necessarily. He's God. I'm not. He's not obligated to that. He graciously gives us information, you know, but there's no obligation on that. I am asked to deny myself, pick up my cross just like you, and follow him. That's what it means to be a disciple. You want to be a disciple? That's the requirements. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, follow him. It's not dark, but it is a step of faith, isn't it? We can see him in front of us, but it's just one step at a time. He is, as he said, the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, as natural men, did we like the light? I think that's another thing we got to look at. As in our natural state of being, prior to following Jesus Christ, or when we slip into flesh mode, and we slip into that mode and we're not walking close with the Lord, natural men do not like the light. Let's look at John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Now, who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. The light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Now, I told you about you know, having that dart fest a while back. I told you about having a dart fest in the garage when I was a kid. we had a little dartboard, and they were little, you know, feather-ended darts with metal tips, you know, little brass metal tips. And me and my buddy were just throwing them in the garage, throwing them at boxes and stuff. Because it was just cool, man. They just stuck in the boxes. And, well, we closed the garage door, and then it's pitch black. If my kids would have done this, I would have really taken good care of them. But, oh, man. So I think about this stuff. This is just craziness. We closed the garage door, so now it's dark in there, and we're just whipping darts around in there. It's a boy thing, I guess, but we're whipping the darts around in there until we kind of smelled something funny. And we opened the garage door then, and we look over, and one of the darts was hung up in a bottom of the can of paint thinner. Well, we're kids. You know, it starts squirting all over, so now it's a big mess. Then my mom came in, and it was bad. And we had peppered this old, it was a decent dresser, not after we got done with it, but we just peppered it with dart holes were all in the thing. Opening the garage was a bummer, especially when my mom came in. It became manifest what we were doing. As long as we stayed in the darkness, it was great. You see, we enjoyed the darkness. Until there was a problem, the garage door came in, the light, my mom came in, it was bad. Our evil deeds were exposed. We were seen for what we were. For everyone who practices evil hates light and does not come to the light. Didn't want to come to the light. It got real bright when my dad got home. That was the first time I can remember, man, being a young kid and just, that's the only time I can remember having to put on my pajamas at about 3 in the afternoon, go to my room and wait for my dad to come home. That was a bad day. But it was because the deeds were done in darkness and the light had shone in the situation. Lest his deeds should be exposed. We have to finish that verse out. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen and that they have been done in God. So the things that we do as Christians, we want to do, we walk in the light. We want the things that we do to be done openly because it's the Lord doing them in and through our lives. It's not us and it's not a deed of darkness. There's no shroud of secrecy, you see. It's open. It's wide open. But as a natural person, we just don't like the light because our tendency, or we have a propensity towards darkness. That's just because we were born in sin. And so we see that right there. Now, Jesus then, and as we see, took us out of darkness. So our natural tendency is to hide from the light, basically, or to live in darkness. But Jesus took us out of darkness. We read this just recently in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we've been called out of that darkness. Get out of the garage. You know, open the garage door. Let the light shine. You get exposed for what you've done. God is gracious and forgives you. You try not to be a repeat offender in that kind of thing, and you move on, you repent, and you turn away from this stuff. He's called us out of darkness, out of the life of sin. And see, I believe there's a transaction that takes place in the realm of the Spirit. When we surrender and give our lives to Jesus Christ, there's this transaction that happens in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And in the spirit world, there's this thing that takes place where inside my heart I say, Lord, I want to follow you. I confess I was the one that threw the darts. You see? I confess it. But I want to repent of that. I see how wrong that was. I see what a mess it made. I see the problems in it. And my life is going to be a shambles. And I want to give my life to you, God. If you could take my life, I want to give my life to you. God says, man, I love you. You're my son. I want you to be in the family. I'm so glad you're washed and cleansed. You're forgiven. I invite Jesus Christ into my heart. He comes to live in my life. Now I'm taken out of darkness. Now I'm in his marvelous light. I see things as they are. The things going on around me, the thing we see them in the light of the love of Jesus Christ, who he is in our lives. So now we are now in that light. We're light in him. Jesus dwells within us and we are light in that sense. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, Paul says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day, children of the day. That'd make a good band, wouldn't it? A good name for a band. That was one long time ago. Children of the day. That was a long time ago. You are sons of light. And that's so now we're starting to see this is what our tendency is. We know who God is. God is light. Now we see his word is light. Light lights up our path for us, gives us guidance and direction. Jesus is the light of the world. And we know this now. We're naturally, we just don't want to come to the light because our deeds, we're fearful because our deeds are going to be exposed. We're going to be seen for what we really are. But Jesus takes us out of the darkness, forgives us, and brings us, puts us in the light. And now we know our identity. We are children of the day. We are sons and daughters of light. We are light in that sense. So when you get in a situation, why are some people so offended by you and you haven't really even said anything? You just walked into the situation. You are light. And what does the natural person not want? Light. Sometimes that happens. You know, if they're stealing pencils at work and you're not taking any home with you, and they're doing that and they know you know, they're offended by you because you're not a part of what they're doing. Because you are light. Silly little illustration, but it's true. And it is that simple sometimes of why people brew up things against you. But it's because you're light. It's because that's who you are now. You have a new identity in Jesus Christ. You are light. So we are then, as we wrap this up, we are then to walk in the light. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Paul here says, "For you were once darkness, past life, once sin, living in sin, walking in darkness, fumbling around, can't see good direction, just once in darkness. We were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So now, if we are that, this is our identity now as Christians, then we are to have a walk that exemplifies that. Walk as children of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." The light comes in. It sees it for what it is. It says, whoa, wait a minute. I can't be a part of that. I didn't realize that. Whoa, hold it. I can't do this. And we expose it for what it is. And we move forward. We get away from that situation because we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, I think it's important in verse 11 to make a determination for us as Christians that we are not desiring to exclude or design people out of our lives. Well, they're not seeing it the way I'm seeing it, so they're done, you know. That's not what's being said here. It's that we're not to have fellowship. We're not to take part in. We're not to have the bond that maybe we once had. You know, I had this bond with all these party friends, you know, because we partied. That was our bond. But man, once I came into the light, that bond is, it's done. I can't bond with them in that anymore. I can't be a part of that. Now, that's just one example. It could be a lot of different things. People that have boyfriends or girlfriends, they get involved sexually. This is what I'm talking about right there. If you're a Christian, you are not to have that bond anymore. You've come into the light. It's seen for what it is. That's to terminate. You see, it's that simple. It's that straightforward. "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light." We want to be careful with this. We don't want to share in these unfruitful works of darkness and have fellowship with it, but rather expose it for what it is. Now, you can expose it in a godly way and say, hey, this isn't something I want to be a part of. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, you know, and I'm not interested in this anymore. I don't want to live this life anymore. It was bringing ruin to me, shame and guilt. I'm not caring that anymore, and I don't want to go back to it, man. So I'm done with this. And you tell them in a loving, honest way, God has changed my life, and I am praying for you that you would see Jesus for who he is and that you would come to know him and enjoy the fellowship that I have with Jesus Christ. Man, that's a powerful statement when you tell somebody that. They know you know where they're at because you were just there. They know you know where they're at. And now you're telling him, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm not looking for that anymore. It was emptiness. Powerful. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So coming out of that darkness, God will give us light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. Jesus living within us, he's addressing believers. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and ultimately then what? Glorify your Father in heaven. And so that's the goal, the light being within us, and it's to bring God honor and glory, not to draw attention to you. We're not supposed to be these little lightning bugs, you know? So that we will see the lightning bug, you know? I mean, it's that's not what it's about. It's about illuminating and seeing God for who God is. That God within us is powerful. So it's not to draw attention to us, but it's to draw attention to what God has done and what he is doing and what he can do in other people's lives. We're the light of the world then. Jesus came in. He's the light of the world. He lives within you. He goes to be with the Father. The Holy Spirit's sent. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Now we are the light of the world. And so we're to carry that torch, as it were, in that sense. Philippians 2. Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Well, what does that have to do with this? Got to finish it up. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, these things, we aren't to be a part of some of these things, you know. We're to do things without complaining and disputing. That's the world complains and disputes about everything. That you may become blameless and harmless. We're supposed to be blameless and harmless in the Lord. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. There's craziness going on all around us, isn't there? But we're not supposed to be a part of all that. We're supposed to be walk in the light, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, walk in the light. Let's get this, we've got some good background for us. We got some good things. Let's get the rubber hitting the road here. What does this mean for you and I? If we're to walk in the light, what does this mean for us? We're to see things in the truth. We're to see things in the truth of God's word. We see that, man, if the light shines and it exposes something, we just want to confess that and say, gosh, Lord, confession is what? Agreeing with God. Agreeing with the truth. Agreeing with God. Confession is, I see this, God, as you see this. That's confession. I've done this, but I see this now as you see this. And I confess that I was wrong, that I sinned, and that I missed it, you see. But I'm agreeing with God that, God, you're right. That's that idea of confession. And so we're to see things in the truth, that the relationship, the light of that relationship with Jesus Christ, as his word then reveals that truth to us, as we see it for what it is. And his spirit that dwells within us will bear witness of that truth. It bears witness in our hearts. We say, man, you know what? I see that, how it is, Lord. I've been going down this way, and that's really not the direction you want me to go. I need to go this way. And then the Lord just, he lovingly just says, hey, great. I'm glad you see it my way. The road's narrow. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. But the road's narrow. And so we have to stay on that path that he's prescribed for us as believers. And we're to walk in the light that he's given us, that we can please him and bring him honor and glory. This idea of walking, it's not a aimless meandering that you do at the mall. Okay? When I'm really overtired and stuff, I like to go to a real oversized, giant sporting goods store. Or I like to go to a really, really well overstocked tool section of a Home Depot or a Lowe's or something, you know. I like to go to one of those places, and I like to just wander around and just look at all the stuff. That is not walking. That's meandering. I have no aim, no purpose, no direction. I'm just mindless because I'm just overtired and I'm just kind of looking at all the neat stuff, you know? Thinking about things that I don't need and can't afford, really. How many spare bicycle tires and tubes do you need in your garage? How many, you know, extra fishing poles do you need? How many, you know, I moved some gun ammo. I don't even have guns. I moved gun ammo this last week. Gosh, what am I doing with this gun ammo still? Anyway, so if anybody comes to attack me, I can throw bullets at them, I guess. A lot of good that's going to do. I'll probably hold the bullet with a plier and try and hit the cap with the... Oh, man. But that's meandering, aimless movement, okay? That's not the walk that it's described here in Walk in the Light. This walk has got purpose. It's got direction. It's got a forward movement. So we've got purpose, we've got direction, we're not wandering around aimlessly, we are following the Lord, we are going a direction. Now, for us, sometimes in our minds, I can't always see exactly where that's leading, but I am going a direction because I am following the Lord. And I think that's very important for us. So we can for sure say that this walk is purposeful movement in a forward direction. Purposeful movement in a forward direction. Then this idea of light. So we got this purposeful movement in a forward direction. And this idea of light is to illuminate. And we found to illuminate or to make manifest. We found those words in our scriptures today. So moving forward, purposeful. And that we also see clearly, and that light has made manifest what's going on around me. I'm not in darkness. I'm not wondering about a bunch of stuff unnecessarily. Now, what about the things that you and I, because you're saying, well, that's not me. I wonder about a lot of stuff. What about the stuff that you wonder about? A lot of times you got to go back to this basis and say, okay, do I trust God? Do I trust God? Because we can wonder about a lot of things, but it can bring in doubt and fear. Doubt and fear are the outcome of not trusting God. Faith, when we walk by faith, walking in the light by faith, trusting God, dispels doubt and fear. And so when we walk in the light, we say, man, you know what? The light tells me that God's ways... The Word tells us His ways are beyond our ways. His ways are beyond our finding out. I don't always understand exactly what's going on, but His Word also tells me that I can trust Him. That He is guiding my life, even if I don't know that He's guiding my life. I can trust that He's guiding my life. So we want to be careful that we don't go down and start entertaining too many things that lead to doubt and fear. Because you lose sight of walking in the light then. We're to trust the Lord, trust Him at His word. So, our fellowship is in Him. Our connection, as we've talked about, is at the cross. It's nowhere else. We come together here. Right now, we're meeting here. It doesn't really matter to me where we meet. We meet in the field. We can meet at a park. We can meet, you know, anywhere. It does parking lots. It doesn't matter to me. But we're going to meet at the cross. That's where we're going. We're going to connect up at the cross and hang out with the Lord. Because that's what it's all about, because that's where the light is shining, and that's what we want to be a part of. And His light that shines within us wherever we go illuminates situations and circumstances that God might be made manifest in those situations and that people might begin to see Jesus for who He really is. And then they might turn their lives over to Him. Let's pray. Father, this morning we do thank You that You live within our lives, Lord, that Your desire is to make Yourself known to us. Lord, we pray for those this morning who may not know You. Lord, that they would open their lives up to You, that they would surrender. But Lord, today we just want to thank You for making Yourself known to us, for being in our midst. And Lord, we just pray that You would continue to give us that guidance and direction that we need, that You just continue to illuminate the path in our feet. Lord, we thank You for doing that. We thank You that You lead us by faith as we just simply trust You, Lord. Lord, we want to walk in faith and in that light and therefore dispel the doubt and the fear, Lord. We thank you for this. We ask that you continue to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.